Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's continue our study again that we have been having on the force of faith by reading from the book of Mark chapter 11. The prelude to this was that Jesus cursed a tree which we all know about, and as they were leaving the city, Peter pointed out the fact that the tree had withered from the roots up. And then when Jesus was going to answer them, he said in verse 22, "Have faith in God." Explaining that further, he said, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he is saying is going to happen, it shall be granted him." Verse 24, he now said, "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask," he said, "believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you." Now, last time I also read from the book of Mark chapter 9, in which a man came to Jesus and he wanted his son prayed for that he might be healed of his disease. And Jesus told him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Now, the point I want to make from there is that faith was given by Jesus, not as a commandment here to his disciples, but as explaining the condition for the answering of prayers by God. That if you have faith, you will get whatever it is that you want from the hand of the Lord praying. You know, sometimes people thinking about that think that all you just need to do is still your mind, close your eyes, focus on something, and they think that is what faith is. But really, faith is not that. Faith is not something you just conjure up in a moment. I want to introduce to us today the concept, all right, called the spirit of faith. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul explains something there. He said, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." Now, what I'm introducing with that is a concept called the spirit of faith. When you hear the word spirit in the scriptures, there is something that he's talking about. We oftentimes think that anytime you use the word spirit, it's referring to an individual. And that is why some people, you know, it has actually caused quarrels a lot of times. People say, "Is the Holy Spirit a person? And is it not a person?" And that's the reason why the quarrel came about. Because some people read spirit only to mean it's an individual. Some read it only to mean that it's just a force. But actually, it depends on the context in which you are using it. All right? The word spirit, most of the time using the scriptures, is talking about the invisible force and the invisible influence. In fact, when it uses the word spirit to describe individuals, it is obvious that it is describing their effect, even though you can't see them. For example, Jesus will say in John chapter 4, "God is spirit," literally. Or some will say, "God is a spirit." What he's saying is that you can't see him, but you can feel him. That's what he was saying. So when we use the word spirit in the scriptures, we are describing that invisible force within or around us, all right, that causes influence that we can feel, all right, or we can relate with. So when he talks about the spirit of faith, okay, if you ever lay hold of this track that I wrote, it's titled "This Is Faith," and it's available for free download on our website. If you go to kingdomword-ng.org, go to the track section, you will see it there. "This Is Faith." I discussed this thing in details there. And also in that book, "Great Faith Can Be Yours," I also described it. Now, the spirit of faith, it comes out, if I were explaining it in modern day English, as the attitude inside the heart that readily believes. Do you get my point? That is a state of a heart that quickly believes. Now, for a man to have the spirit of faith, it means that when God speaks, his heart quickly responds to it. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. And this spirit of faith, there are different ways by which it comes, but most importantly, God sees a good heart and gives to it the spirit of faith. We don't just wake up in the morning and decide that today I will believe. That is, between yesterday and today, nothing has changed in your life. Nothing. Then you say, "What I could not believe yesterday, today I will be able to believe it." It doesn't work like that. It's like you go to the gym and you say you want to bench press, and you say, "Today I'm going to bench press 200 pounds. All right? Yesterday you couldn't do 150 pounds. Listen, your determination overnight does not change the fact that you cannot do 200 pounds. If yesterday you couldn't do 120, you will just wake up today and say, "Today I'm doing 200. You are just going to injure yourself seriously in that attempt. The reason being that within you does not yet lie the ability, all right, to do 200 pounds. Now, so if I want to be able to bench press 200 pounds, if I want to be able to lift a weight double that which I have lifted in previous times, what do? I go out, I start practicing. I increase the weight bit by bit. I improve my diet. I exercise. I keep on increasing the weight until I get to the point. Because this is how God has designed your muscles. If today you are able to lift a weight of 150 pounds, your muscles respond over time and gives you a leverage above the 150. That's how God designs it. So now you have the ability to carry 170. Now, if you push them and start carrying 170, they give you another advantage. You're able to carry. That's what happens. Eventually, you can now overcome the 200. You don't just wake up one day and say, yesterday, I carried 110. Today, I've made up my mind that my new life now is 200 pounds. All right? In carrying. Your determination, listen to me, does not change your ability overnight. And that is the way it is with faith. You don't just wake up today and decide to believe. The only people that can do that, and that's what I want to get you ready for, is when God pours into you suddenly the spirit of faith. If you read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said there are diversities of manifestations. When Paul was talking about concerning spiritual things, he explained it that that's one of the manifestations of the spirit is what he called, he said, faith by the spirit. If you see it, he said to another faith by the same spirit. What Paul was actually saying is that God can give to somebody the spirit of faith that is beyond him, all right, at critical moments. But that is what they call diversities of manifestations. These are things that are not usual, but in which a man suddenly finds himself. Now, I'm trying to bring out something, because sometimes we hear that Daniel, instead of disobeying the king, he chose to go into the lion's den. We hear that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they chose to go into the fiery furnace. And you have asked yourself, what is it, if I was the one, will I be able to do that? Now, there's something I'm trying to explain to us this beginning from today. And that's that matter of the spirit of faith. Because those men that you see in the scriptures, they did not just make up their minds that day to face the fire and not change their minds. Let me tell you the truth. There's no natural human being that has the ability to face the fire if something bigger than him is not moving him. That is just the truth about life. If those young guys face the fire and the king said, all you need to do is just bow small and then we won't roast you. And then they heated the fire 7 times, they still did not bow. You should know that something bigger than them has entered them. And in actual fact, when the king looked into the furnace later and he saw that an extra person was now present, I like children of God to understand that that person was only made manifest in the fire. That is, we could only see him in the fire. He was there before the fire. While they were standing with the king, he was standing. He imparted to them the spirit of faith. You must understand that. When Jesus was going to face the cross, you see, you know, sometimes religion tries to make it look like we can obey God by our strength. You can't. When Jesus was going to face the cross, this is the same person who has preached and preached. At the point in time, he said in the book of John, he said, will I say, Father, save me from this hour? He said, but for this hour, I was born. This was the reason why I came. He had preached the gospel about it. He had declared this was going to happen to me. Yet when the hour came, his flesh failed. Listen to me. He went into the garden and he said this simply. And that's one of the things we must learn about praying as believers. How to say things simply. We like to use high-sounding words and worship God in names that we don't understand. Oh God, who dwells in light unapproachable. And you don't even know the meaning of light that is approachable. Do you get my point? You don't speak in real terms with God. And that thing really upsets me. Just somebody to come and pray and he starts praying in high-sounding words. The Bible says that God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. If you want to go and ask God for a shirt, get down on your knees. Say, dear Lord, I have only one shirt and it is faded. Please send me 3 shirts. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and go about your business. Don't bribe him with praise. Some say before you can pray, you have to first praise God. Oh, say, Father God, I know you are the all-sufficient God that can sufficiently manufacture all the shirts that I need. Listen, my friend, it is yourself you are talking to. You are trying to persuade yourself about God. It's not God you are talking to, and he knows. Now, listen, when you are going to praise God because you want to praise him, not because you want to ask him for something. How would you like it if your son were to come into your presence and he wants to talk? He said, Daddy, I know you are the ultimate daddy, the Baba daddy. There's no daddy like you. I have gone around, I've seen different daddies. You are the only daddy. Please, can I have 20 naira? You will give him a slap because he has become an area boy. Do you get my point? It's only area boys that do like that. You've driven through Onitsha or you have gone to Lagos, they'll start hailing you Baba Ke, the father's father. They call you all kinds of names. Ultimate daddy. They call you the names that you are not worthy of. Why? So you can just drop 20 naira. And listen, my friend, God is not an area father. Do you get my point? We don't hail him until his head swells and then he gives us certain things. We don't do that. Please let me get back to my point so I don't digress too much. Concerning Jesus Christ, he understood that. All right? He just went straight to the Father. He said, Father, is it possible for me not to go through this cross because it is a hard thing. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he got up and left. The pressure was still heavy upon his soul. And then he returned. He said, Father, this cross has come. Is it possible? Is there any other way? He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The Bible said the intensity of the pressure in his soul was so great, his skin broke. Listen, I don't have time to go into the details of this. His skin broke and drops of blood began to fall from his brow. Listen, at that point, the Bible says that angels came and they strengthened him. That is, he had a strength given to him that made it possible for him to go through the cross. He didn't just say, I'm a dedicated child of God, I can face anything. I'm trying to explain something to all of us here, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they looked at the fire and naturally their flesh would have drawn back, but there was a spirit that God poured into them that made it possible for them to look at the king and said, we are not afraid. Listen, they said, we are not afraid of your decree. If you will kill us, go ahead. We have a God who is able to save, and peradventure he decides that he's not going to save today, we still will not bow down. Listen, normal people don't talk like that. There is a spirit that has entered them. I've said this again and again. There are two kinds of people that appear crazy. Either those who are really mental and you see them a lot around, or those who there's a spirit of faith inside them that makes them talk beyond the things that look like their mouth is capable normally of handling. Do you get the point that they make here? I'm talking about the spirit of faith. Listen, God gives to people at critical moments the spirit of faith. But that is one level. But there's another level which is lower than that, which we all operate by. That is, you either have a spirit of faith or you don't. But then each person, the Bible says, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. There are little things that you can easily believe. Do you get my point? Now, I'm bringing out an issue here. Because there is a force in the human spirit that helps him believe, or makes it difficult for him to believe. I need to say that again. There is a force in the human spirit that helps him believe, or makes it difficult for him to believe. In that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I explain something. That ultimately, the control on whether you believe or you don't lies with God. Now, please listen to me before you run away with that statement. But God judges your heart before he gives you the spirit of faith or does not allow you to have it. What are you talking about, Pastor Banky? Moses went to Egypt to go and do miracles. All sorts of miracles. God told Moses ahead of time, don't worry, Pharaoh will not believe. Now listen, you yourself think about it. This guy will change disguise, Pharaoh will not believe. This man will bring plague out of the wilderness, Pharaoh will not believe. He will bring plague out of the water of the Nile, Pharaoh will not believe. He will change the Nile to blood, Pharaoh still will not believe. He did 9 miracles. Pharaoh did not believe. Do you know why? Because God had deadened his heart. God had deadened his soul. And he said, no matter what you do, Pharaoh will not believe. I want to scare some of us so that we will understand that the kind of careless lives that we live is the reason why God will show up in our presence. We won't see him. God will knock at your door. Oh, as we go on, please try and keep date with me during this program, because I want to teach this thing properly. That the ability to believe can be withdrawn from people because of the wickedness of their hearts. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, went to church. Somebody said, give an offering. Believe God for a car. And you go home and you believe it. Let me say it to you again. All those offerings you give because you want something from God, you may as well shred your money and flush it down the toilet. Because the Bible says that faith works by love. Are you getting my point? If you don't have the love of God in your heart, and the love of the brethren in your heart, or the love of the minister in your heart, or the love of the church you are giving the money to in your heart, before you bring out the money, you have just thrown it away. Because faith works by love. That's what the Bible says. I'm explaining the principle. You don't just wake up and say, tomorrow I want to have a brand new Lexus 430, LS 430. And so they say, all we need to do is believe. Therefore, you close your eyes, seal your heart, and right now I am believing. Let me tell you what you are doing. You are wishing intensely. You are not believing. Listen to me. A man of faith can actually explain to you, if you have spiritual understanding, why he believes. What I'm trying to say here is this. That God draws for him in his heart a perfect picture that makes it impossible for him to doubt. Listen, Jesus gave faith as a condition. It wasn't a commandment. Make sure you believe if you want to get this thing. No. He said, listen, my friends, work on your faith. When you wake up in the morning, let the passion of your heart be to improve in your walk of faith. When you are eating, eat with faith. You say, what do I mean by eating with faith? Start with thanksgiving. That in actual that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Any man who says there is no God loves the lust of the flesh. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias. He was quoting psychologists. After studying people like Sigmund Freud and everything, he said it appears that the reason why a lot of men deny God is simple, because they want to revel in their sexuality. Once when I was a youth, when I was a house officer, shortly after I left school, when I was in my internship, I had a number of colleagues. We lived in the same complex. We were all house officers, so we used to interact, of course, a lot. There were two of them. I'll call one Dr. J, call the other one Dr. S. Now, Dr. J was an interesting fellow. He loved women, if you know what I mean. He would give a date to one woman in the morning on Saturday, another one in the afternoon, another one at night. That was just his favorite pastime. And I used to laugh at him. One day, Dr. J, me, and Dr. S were speaking. And two of them said, there is no God. And they said, if anything good happens, we call it God. If it is bad, we call it Satan. That the truth is that there is no God. It is we Christians that have made up this concept of God and of Satan. And I looked at him, I said, my friend, stop fooling yourself. I know you believe in God. The truth is that you like your immoral lifestyle. Therefore, acknowledging God as far as you are concerned is saying that I am walking in sin. Listen to me. If you go to these advanced countries, go to America, you go to Europe, all these people shout there is no God, go and check it. Their problem is that they love to sin. Jesus said it like this. He said, men love darkness. Now listen to me. And they hate to come out into the light, because if they came out into the light, their deeds of darkness will be exposed. That's just all. How can I say there is God and I'll be committing adultery? How can I say there is God and I will have 15 girlfriends? How can I say there is God and I'll be murdering people for money? Are you getting my point? So I have to first in my heart deny God. So I told my colleague, I said, oh boy, don't deceive me. I cannot be deceived by you. Your problem is that you love the deeds of darkness. So you revel in this idea that there is no God. I left the matter. Of course, we stayed together for almost a year. Then one day along those lines, we were speaking. He said, Blackie, let me tell you something that happened once. He said once he slept and he dreamt that somebody died in his house. He couldn't really identify who. Didn't think anything of it. He just forgot it and he went out during the day. And a friend of his asked him to please follow him somewhere. He was going to see a prophet in one of these white garment churches. He said as soon as they got to that church, if you know that kind of church, most of the time they just one small shack somewhere. He said as soon as they opened the door and he stepped in from the back of the church, the prophet pointed at him and said, you, I see death around you. And except you fast for 3 days and for three nights, somebody is going to die. He turned to me and said, I'm not going to lie you. I fast. I said, look at you. I told you, you believed in God. Your problem is that you love iniquity. That's why you keep trying to deceive me that you don't believe in God. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Listen, that is the problem with a lot of people there, that they don't believe in God. The Bible says it clearly. You know, I was talking about you eat with thanksgiving because God has given us enough evidence. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 1, it said, that which is known about God is evident. God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, eternal power and divine nature had been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. He said, for even though they knew God, that is, they knew God must be there. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias, the Christian apologist, and the man said that it does not make sense to say there is no God, that there is enough empirical evidence to know that God has to exist than there is to believe in evolution. Yet men choose to reject the knowledge of God and hold on to evolution. So he said, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Now, that's where I was going. Or give thanks. He said, but see what happened? They became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. Listen to me. Their hearts became darkened. Initially, their heart was not dark. It's because they rejected to give God simple thanks. That was why their heart became darkened. He said they thought they were wise in verse 22, but they became fools. And we'll talk about that later. They became fools. Listen, they were not fools initially, But because people refuse to acknowledge God, I'm talking about building up your capacity to believe. It's not just about saying, oh, Pastor Banky has been speaking, therefore I believe my tomorrow is great. A lot of people have heard me say these things and they think I am blind and foolish. There was a time I spoke to another two of my colleagues, this time around both of them ladies. I said exactly the same things. The same things you've been hearing me teach on the way of success. Listen to me, I'm talking about 13 years ago, not today. I have believed these things for long. I am not saying it because I'm preaching to you now. I have always believed them. I spoke to two of my colleagues and both of them heard the same words. One turned to me and said, you have found what many people are still looking for. And the other one looked and said, this man, you don't know anything. I am sorry for you. Listen, it's not just the words. That is, somebody can hear words and his heart has become darkened. And that's what I'm preaching beginning from today. The ability to believe. It is possible and it is necessary that you develop your ability to believe. And I said, in simple things, you begin to exercise yourself. Just like you don't wake up one morning and say, I want to bench press 200 pounds. You probably went to the gym the first day, and after they stacked all the weight, you couldn't even push 30 pounds up. Because it happened to me. First time I went to the gym to decide, okay, let me exercise, after I stopped it for many, many, many years. They put weight for me in the gym. I don't think I was able to bench press a total of 50 pounds. But listen to me, in coming for just a few months, I hit the point, listen, that I could push up actually 5 times what I started with just a few weeks ago. Do you get my point? What are we saying? You exercise yourself until you have built up yourself to a particular level. And that's what I'm teaching. Here, he talked about giving thanks. There are basic things. You get food to eat. You think it is automatic, you will get food. All you need to do is watch international TV and you will see what is going on in the world. Until recently, listen, Burma, otherwise known as Myanmar, was the 7th largest exporter of rice in the world. One single cyclone came and the whole country is starving. The last time I watched them on TV, they will pack mud into baskets and start washing the mud to try and get remnants of rice from inside. Until just now, they were the 7th largest exporter of rice in the world. You get food to eat, don't forget to give thanks. Those are the fundamental things about developing your faith. People like to complain. One of the first things God taught me in life is how to give thanks. So there's no light. I said, Father God, I have money to buy a small generator. It may only generate 650 watts, but I thank you. Are you getting my point? I remember when I started my residency, and at the beginning of the program, my salary was 5,000 naira a month. People say things were better then. Dollar was only selling for 70 to 75 naira. If you think they were so much better. My colleagues would complain that we are earning an equivalent of $50 a month. One day we're discussing this thing. I said, listen, my friend, on my so-called $50 a month, I can eat. Do you get my point? I can transport myself. I may not have a car, but I can go everywhere I want to go. I said, for that, Father, I give you thanks. I remember once a friend of mine took me out. He had an old car, but he had a car. He had a decent job. He had a house of his own. And one night we were going out, and he said, this country is so useless. I don't understand what is going on. Our fathers have finished this country. It's a friend of mine about the same age. He said, this country is so useless. I don't know what is going on. A young man cannot look forward to a bright future. He complained and complained and complained. I stuck out my head from the window. When Anthony Bridge that day, I looked up at the sky. I said, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Because life is good. Now listen, I just finished your service. I didn't have anything. I told one of my friends, they sound like a joke. I said, the only worldly possession I have, I can say a young man bought with his money, apart from clothes, was my electric iron. Here was a friend, driving me in his car. Quite basic things. Now, a lot of us, they don't know. Chinese people have made TVs and DVD players so cheap. Those days, we will save for months. I never did it. God is my witness. People will save for months to buy a television. Pay instrumentally for a video player. I'm talking about medical doctors. I told myself, God, when the time comes, we'll buy the TV. Not now. I have too many good things to do in saving up my money because of television. I will not do it. That was the same season. A man who had all this and said that this country is used. I don't know what is going on here. I said, listen, I just took out my head from the car. I remember into the breeze. I allowed it to blow in my face. I just put it near the window. I said, Father, I thank you because life is good. I was breathing freely. Father, I thank you. Life is good. I am able to move around without being in prison. Father, I thank you because life is good. I like one song I learned those days when I would go and listen to Bishop Oyedepo and Winners. They will say, colorful and it's bright. I must get there. And my future is bright. I must get there. Listen to me, friends. I believed it. I believed it and I still do believe it. Now, those basic things are the things that God is looking at before he imparts the ability to believe greater things into your life. People want to just go for an all-night breakthrough meeting and somebody prays and say, receive it. And you say, you think you have the faith to receive it. Listen to me.
the fact that you shouted amen there and then doesn't mean much. Because if you go and read about the parable of the sower, read Mark chapter 4. Jesus described that the people who respond the happiest were those that had no depth in them. I don't have time to explain. But having no deepness of earth, after the all-night prayer meeting, go and face challenges the next day. We will know whether you have faith or not. If you ever get this CD, lay your hands on it and listen to all the tracks in it. My Utmost for His Highest, the original CD. One of the musicians, I can't remember which one exactly now, but he said something. He said, I'm like a man sitting on a ship. The sky is clear. I can see the skies. The breeze is blowing gently. I say I'm a man of faith. Then suddenly I look in the horizon. The clouds begin to gather. Do you get what I'm saying? And the wind begins to blow. And I realize a storm is coming. Here I am in the middle of the sea on my ship. He says, suddenly I see my faith turn to fear. You want to know whether you have faith? Wait till you face challenges. They just finished prophesying to you in church and you're shouting amen. It's not proof at all that you have faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. You must build up your capacity to believe. It's not that you wake up one morning and say, yesterday I didn't have faith, today great faith is mine. No, it doesn't work like that, friends. You wake up every day building your capacity to believe. Jesus said, if you can believe, if there's an if there, friends, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believes. I've introduced something today. I said, people who are not thankful can't believe God for great things. We will see many things later on. I heard this man say it, Billy Graham. He said, people who are too immoral, faith is hard for them. I heard that while I was writing the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I wrote it inside that I just heard Billy Graham say. No, it's a, God just arranged it. I was writing that chapter and Billy Graham was preaching behind me. Listen, I'm telling you what will help you to believe. You'll find that the Bible says that faith works by love. One of the greatest stimulants of faith in life is love. The Bible says that the reason why He has called you is that you will help people inherit desolate heritages. That is, the plan I have for them is a plan of good and not of evil. I want to give them a future and a hope. But I need people, listen to me, God always needs people. He said, I need people to help me help these people inherit desolate heritages. Anyone who will rise up in his heart or her heart and say, God, I want to help your people inherit their heritage, which right now appears desolate. Listen, God pours into that person the spirit of faith. He starts seeing things that other people can't see. He starts believing, because vision is one of the most powerful stimulants of faith. I mean, I was seeing an advert once and they described a young girl who had an unusual gift that she can see patterns in the midst of chaos. Listen, God does that. He allows a man of faith see patterns. Patterns for progress, patterns for prosperity in the midst of chaos. You get the point? Listen, God gives it to people. I have two women in the Bible as examples. I will discuss that next time. The widow of Zarephath, who God multiplied her food throughout the time of famine because she gave to Elijah. And Ruth, who became an ancestress of Jesus Christ. I said, Ruth never cared about the God of Naomi. She cared about the Naomi of that God. Her love for Naomi to sacrifice the whole of her young womanhood. Maybe after this woman dies, she too will become desolate and destitute. She did not care. Naomi must be supported in her old age. God said, you will never lack. Gave her the best husband Israel had to offer. He made sure the greatest person that ever came to this earth was her descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you got my point. We'll continue from that next time.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.